How much must this have fatigued her? From the human perspective, how much must this have physically drained her to have done this in the heat of Makkah? In the heat of Makkah. And therefore, when she sacrificed, she literally sacrificed herself. She gave away herself, her body, her fatigue. Actually, it goes even further than this. Lady Khadija salamullahi alayha gave away not just her wealth, not just her health, she gave away her station and position within Arabia. Within Arabia, she was the most prominent of ladies. Her wealth, her business acumen, her spirituality, everybody wanted to marry Lady Khadija salamullahi alayha. Everybody wanted that honor to have such a pious wife, such a generous wife, such a phenomenal wife within the community. By the end of it, because of her allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet, she was left without nothing whatsoever. Nothing. Do you know to what extent she was left without nothing? On the day in which she gave birth to Lady Zahra, salamullahi alayha, there is a narration about this that took place. She was about to go into labor. And when someone goes into labor, you have a midwife. Someone to take care of you, someone to assist you in the birth, someone to give you all the support morally and physically that they can give to you at that moment in time. She exits her house and calls to the women of Makkah and says, "Oh women, I'm about to go into labor. Who is there to assist me in the birth?" Do you know what the response was from the women of Makkah? "You are supporting that man Muhammad. We will not help you one iota in giving birth." You would think at that moment, being Lady Khadija salamullahi alayha, the whole of Makkah would have ran to assist her at that moment. She was left alone. She had given everything up for the sake of Rasulullah, that even in that moment there was no one to assist her in giving birth. The hadith continues, as she went back into her house, four lights descended in front of her. The first one introduced and said, "I am your grandmother Hawa." The next one said, "I am Asiya, wife of Aun." The next one said, "I am Maryam, salamullah alayha." And the next one stated, "I am Umm, the sister of Musa. If no one is here to help you, we have descended from the heavens to come and help you in the birth of Fatima to Zahra alayha." The inheritor of Lady Khadija, salamullahi alayha. She had given everything for the sake of Allah, that even the authority that she had within the community had gone. She gave away her position for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who here wants to give away their position for anything? Normally, my position is my position. I don't want to give it away. If I'm the leader of the community, I want everyone to know. Everyone has to follow me. When you give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus, this light was left with nothing to the level in which famous Masa'ib says that when Rasulullah came to bury her, she didn't even have a kafan, didn't even have a cloth. Let me ask you a question. How cheap is a single sheet of cloth? How cheap? Can you find something in the society today in terms of purchasing that is cheaper than that? Really? For your household goods, is there anything cheaper than a little piece of cloth? A plain piece of cloth? Today, thousands are spent on fashion. Thousands on suits. Thousands on jumpers. Thousands on dresses. One cloth she didn't have. Thus the famous Maqtal reads that he, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, raises his head and says, "Ya Rasulullah, she had given everything in the way. Where is the cloth for Lady Khadija to be buried?" Jibra'il Amin descends with five cloths. Five cloths. The first one was for Khadija. The second for Rasulullah. The next for Zahra. The next for Amir al-Mu'mineen and the fifth for Hassan al-Mujtaba, Salamullahi alayhim ajma'een, Rasulullah would look and say, Jibra'il, where is the fifth cloth? Where is the fifth coffin? Ya Rasulullah, your grandson will die without a coffin. Your grandson will die without a coffin. Lady Kulthum, Salamullahi alayha, is narrated to have said that as they left the body, as they walked past the body, she saw the body and she turned her face towards Medina and said, Ya Rasulullah, O grandfather, come from Medina to Karbala and see your grandson without a coffin. His body is left bare without a coffin. Today, his blood gives him his ghusl and the sands of Karbala cover him in his coffin. Assalamu alayka ya walitha Khadija al-Kubra. Because Hussein gave everything to the extent that he didn't even have a coffin on the 10th of Muharram. He gave it everything, just like Lady Khadija salamullahi alayha gave even her position in authority. He gave everything, everything he had for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we say, Assalamu alayka ya walitha Fatimah al-Zahra salamullahi alayha. Assalamu alayka ya walitha Fatima Sayyidati Nisa al-Alameen. Peace and blessings be upon you, the inheritor of Zahra, the leader of all the women. Zahra salamullahi alayha was a flower from the garden of paradise itself. Zahra salamullahi alayha, a mother who loved her children so much that she would go hungry and thirsty for them. She, if there was one loaf of bread left in the house, would divide it into two, and then divide it into two again, and give this to Hassan and Hussein, Zainab and Kulthum. On the 10th of Muharram, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, he had given everything to the point he couldn't even offer water to his own children. Zahra salamullahi alayha was someone who was such a noble woman that everyone would come to her and seek from her. A famous narration says that one day she is in her house and someone comes and knocks upon her door. She opens and it is a lady of the community. The lady says to her, I have questions for you, do you mind? Zahra says, no, please go ahead. Ask whatever it is that you want to ask. The lady asks a question, Zahra salamullahi alayha answers it. She asks another question, Zahra salamullahi alayha answers it and answers it. The narration says after 10 questions back and forth, answers back and forth, the lady stops and becomes embarrassed. Oh Zahra, I feel sorry for you. I am so sorry. I have taken so much of your time. I have asked and I have asked from your time. She says, why are you complaining? Why are you apologizing? This is our responsibility to give to you. Whatever you want, we give in your way. We stop and we give in your way. There is no trouble on us because this is our duty before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine that lady who walked into her own father and her own prophet's masjid and had to demand her rights. Imagine that lady who had to stand in front of the tyrants of the time and demand her rights. If Zahra was the one who could stand up to the greatest of tyrants of her time, where do you think Hussein ibn Ali got his strength? Stand up to Yazid from. It was instituted and flowing in his blood because his mother was to do it. There are narrations after narrations about what happened to Imam al-Hassan and Imam al-Hussein in regards to that day when she, salamullahi alayha, had to go and establish her rights and demand for what was hers. One narration says that she had such strength, that one narration says that Amir al-Mu'mineen, as they attacked the house, after the door fell on Zahra, Think about this. Sahra salamullahi alayha. The door had crushed her. She had lost her child. Look at the parallel to Hussein ibn Ali. She had lost her child. Hussein ibn Ali was about to lose his child. Zahra, after losing her child, had to go towards the tyrants and go and stand up. Hussein ibn Ali, after losing his azkar, had to go and stand up. How does a parent have the strength to do that? Physically, emotionally, have the strength to be able to go and stand up for your rights at that moment. Zahra left her house. Amir al-Mu'mineen is narrated to have said, or the incident about Amir al-Mu'mineen, specific, do you know how it describes him? It says that they tied a rope around the neck of Ali ibn Abi Talib and they dragged him like a camel towards the pulpit of his own the pulpit of his own cousin and brother Rasulullah. How strong is a camel? How strong is a camel? And what must it look like to drag a camel kicking and fighting? Ali ibn Abi Talib in the hadith is described that he was dragged like a camel towards the pulpit of his own grandfather, to the pulpit of his own prophet and messenger. At that moment, having already borne the burden of the door falling upon her, Zahra takes Hassan in one hand, Hussein in the other hand, in towards the masjid. The narration says, the second caliph puts a sword to the neck of Ali and says, "Oh Ali, if you do not give us allegiance, we will kill you." At this moment, Hassan and Hussein walk into the Masjid al-Nabawi. Hassan and Hussein are young children. Do you know what happens? The narration says, Imam al-Hassan and Imam al-Hussein begin to cry, hearing this threat from the second caliph. "Oh Ali, if you do not give us allegiance, we will cut your neck." Hassan and Hussein begin to cry. Imam Ali turns around and says, "Hassan and Hussein, do not cry, do not cry. Do you know why? These people can never kill me. These people can never kill me. I'll never be able to stop who Ali ibn Abi Talib really is." This is Zahra and her strength. You know what happened that evening? The narration state that she gets on a horse. Imam Ali alayhi salam takes the reins of that horse and leads her to the house of everyone in Medina who was there at the pledge of Khadir Khum. And she knocks on the door and calls out the women, "Oh women folk, ask your husbands, were they not there? Were they not there on the 18th of Dhul Hijjah and they gave pledge of allegiance to my husband Ali ibn Abi Talib? Why is it that they had become so treacherous and left him?" She did this. She stood up for Ali ibn Abi Talib after all of these incidents had taken place. Imagine the strength of Zahra salamullahi alayha. Another narration states, Zakir says this is a line of poetry. A line of poetry that takes place. He says that when Zahra salamullahi alayha went to go and obtain her rights of Fadak, she actually got it written. But eventually on her return back, the second caliph snatched it from her and ripped it and shredded it and threw it on the floor. She says, there is a line of poetry that describes what happened and how broken she felt at that moment. The line of poetry was, that when she went and left her house, she took Imam al-Hassan in her hand. In her hand. Meaning her as a mother held the hand of Imam al-Hassan. After she came back in that alleyway and the second caliph had ripped up that piece of paper, she felt so broken and dejected at that moment. Imam al-Hassan had her hand in his hand. Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam had to bring her back to the house at that moment in time. Imagine what it must have been like now. Hussein ibn Ali returned several times back and forth with his child in his hand. The first to come out and greet that child was Sakina bint al-Hussein. Sakina came running out, "Father, did they quench the thirst?" Asghar, the maqtal says, Imam al-Hussein says, child, take this body, because Hussein cannot bear this anymore. This trial and tribulation is too much for Imam al-Hussein. This is the strength of Hussein ibn Ali to go again to the battlefield, to bury his own child after all of this. As-salamu alayka ya walitha. Fatima al-Zahra, Sayyidati Nisa' al-Alameen. As-salamu alayka ya walitha. Khadija al-Kubra. As-salamu alayka ya walitha. Amin al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib. He embodied that responsibility and gave to the extent when there was nothing left to give, all he could give was his head to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me switch the lights. And thus, on this night of the 10th of Muharram, Ali al-Azghar and this small baby is the one to sacrifice himself. It is said that Imam alayhi salatu wasalam stood all alone on the 10th of Muharram. How can the warith of Adam and Nuh, and Ibrahim, and Musa, and Isa, and Rasulullah, and Ali ibn Abi Talib, and Khadija stand alone on the 10th of Muharram, I ask you? How is that possible that humanity, those who loved Musa, could not come to his aid? Those who loved Isa could not come to his aid? Those who love Rasulullah could not come to his aid. Those who love Ali ibn Abi Talib could not come to his aid. Ya Aba Abdillah, tonight we come to your aid. He stands all alone on the 10th of Muharram and he calls out, Hal min nasirin yansurana, hal min mughithin yughithuna. Who is there to come to our aid? Who will come and help the grandson of Rasulullah? Who will come to the aid of the women of the grandchildren of Rasulullah? Who will help Zainab bin Kulthum? Who will help all of the women? At that moment, we hear that the child of Abu Abdullah, he couldn't speak. He couldn't cry out because of the thirst was killing him. And so all he could do with his body, the strength left in the body of Ali ibn al-Azghar, was that he began to rock his own cradle back and forth until maybe he fell from his cradle. Labbaik ya Aba Abdillah. Qasim has gone. Akbar has gone. Abbas is no longer there. Father, I will give myself for you. They pick up this young baby, this six-month-old child, and they call out, Ya Aba Abdillah, come back to the tents. The mother of Azghar, she has become dry of milk. They come and they wrap him in a sheet. Khadija, if there was no sheet for you, that's because you gave it to Azghar on the 10th of Muharram. They wrapped Azghar in a sheet. Do you know why they wrapped Azghar in a sheet? Because they wanted to protect him from the burning sun, the afternoon sun of Iraqi desert. I ask you a question. If they wanted to protect Azghar from the heat by giving him just a very small sheet, how is that going to protect his neck from a three-pronged arrow? They gave the baby to Aba Abdillah. Oh, Aba Abdillah, this child is dying of thirst. His eyes sunk back into his head. His tongue is so dry. His mother does not produce any milk. Please go out and bring some water for this child. Imam al-Hussein stands out and brings this child. As they see it, they ask themselves, the enemies say, is Imam looking to arbitrate? Has he brought the Quran to make some sort of arbitration between us? At that moment, he begins to take out the cloth and remove it and put Asghar into the people's limelight. He shows Asghar to the people. He calls out, O enemies, if I have done wrong, then so be it. Your complaint is with me. But I ask you a question. What has this six-month-old baby done? What has this child done? He is so thirsty. Please give him a drop of water. The enemies begin to cry. They begin to cry and begin to turn to each other. Maybe we should give this child a drop of water. Ya Aba Abdullah. Umar ibn Sa'd says, no, we shall not give him any water. Imam al-Hussein says, fine, if you think I will drink the water, I will put this baby down on the ground. Oh, Aba Abdullah, the plains of Karbala are so hot. So hot, you want to put Asghar down onto the ground. If you think I will drink. As-salamu alayka ya waritha. Ibrahim Khalilullah. When he was on the ground, he kicked the ground and the water gushed forth. If this was Ismail, wallah, if I put his feet on that ground, all the water of all the oceans would have come for Ali ibn al-Asghar. But the enemies of God couldn't give him one drop of water. He picked up Ali ibn al-Asghar and put his arms. A father always tries to shelter his children and his babies. At this moment, Umar ibn Sa'd sees that the army is beginning to turn away. The army is beginning to cry. He turns to the expert marksman, Hulmala. Oh, Hulmala, quieten this sign of Aba Abdullah. Lest now we lose all of our army to Aba Abdullah. How evil must you be? He puts the first arrow into his bow and he draws it back. As he draws it back, we are told that he sees a lady standing by the tents. That lady is the mother of Asghar, waiting to hear some news about the child. He fires the first arrow, it goes amiss. He takes the second arrow, he pulls it back. And again he sees in the corner of his eyes a lady pacing up and down. If Hajra paced up and down, imagine what the mother of Asghar was doing in that moment. He fires the second arrow, he goes amiss. But this time, this third arrow, there will be no miss from Hurmala. When Mukhtar al-Thaqafi caught Hurmala and put him to death, he asked him, tell me about the different arrows that you struck on the 10th of Muharram. He says, I struck the water of Abbas and I struck the eye of Abbas. I struck Abdullah ibn Hassan, who was standing in the arms of Hussein. I struck him with an arrow which I filled with poison. But there was another arrow which I struck. And this arrow was a three-pronged arrow that I struck. You know, in the history of Arabia, there were two reasons as to why they used three-pronged arrows. Listen to this. There were two reasons in history why they used to have three-pronged arrows. The first one was, when they wanted to break down a gate, they would strike a three-pronged arrow into the gate and pull the arrow so that the gate or the door broke. How soft is the neck of Asghar? And how hard is the gate? The second reason is because when they wanted to slaughter a camel, they would fire the arrow into the neck of the camel. And this arrow was big enough to slaughter a camel. I ask you, how wide is the neck of a camel? How small is the neck of a six-month-old child of Ali ibn al-Asghar? Hurmala puts this three-pronged arrow. He takes it back. At this moment, there is no deviation in the arrow. This time the arrow will fly true and straight. It flies in the air. Hussein sees this arrow coming towards him. As-salamu alayka ya Abu Abdullah. At this moment, the arrow flies in the air. It strikes the neck of Ali ibn al-Asghar. The maktal says, Asghar flaps his arms. He begins to flap his arms like a bird. He is struggling, flapping his arms and moving himself. In front of his father. Father, you asked for a drop of water. They quenched it with an arrow. Father, do not cry. Father, do not cry. This is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Asghar's body shakes. Asghar's body moves. Like a bird. Eventually, all the blood comes out of his body. Imam al-Hussein takes this blood and he looks towards the sky. He wants to throw this blood towards the sky. The sky speaks, Oh Hussein, if you put a drop of this blood in the sky, by Allah, we will not rain one drop until the end of time. Hussein wants to put the blood to the floor. The floor cries out, Hussein, we will not grow anything until the end of time. Imam al-Hussein takes the blood of Asghar and pours it upon his own face and upon his own beard. He turns round back towards the camp. How do I show a mother what has just happened? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He walked back towards the enemy camp. Back towards his camp 7 times, up and down. One maktal says that as he sick, a voice comes from heavens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out, O Abu Abdullah, now go back towards the tent. Why? Because there's a mother who is waiting to hear about the outcome of her child. You know what has happened to Asghar. Go back towards the tent because there is a mother that is waiting. At this moment he returns. Sakina comes running out. Father, did they quench the thirst of my brother? It is narrated on the night of Sham-e-Ghariba, after they had burnt the tents, it is narrated that they came and gave water to each of the children. Each of the children came and gave water. The first person they wanted to give it to was Zain al-Abidin because of his state. They wanted to give it to Muhammad Baqir because of his state. Muhammad Baqir would give it to Sakina. Sakina took that glass of water and ran to the grave of Asghar. Asghar, now water has come. Now I will quench your thirst. There is no need. Ala la'natullahi ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. Wa say'alamu al-lazina zalamu ayyuman qalabi anqalibun. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasten the appearance of the awaited Savior. Allow us to be alongside Him at all times in our life and in our death. We ask you, Ya Allah, if we are to pass away from this world before His coming, to raise us from our graves, that we may partake in the victory of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. We ask you, Ya Allah, allow us this year and every year to perform the ziyarah of Ali ibn al-Asghar. One dhakir says, as we know, Ali in the chest of Aba Abdullah, that broken chest, because a child loves to fall asleep on the chest of their father. This year and every year. Ya Allah, those people don't have children. Ya Allah, there are many people around the world going through such desperate times. Those people who are hungry, those people who are in a state of poverty, those people without education, those people without medicines and in a state of war. Ya Allah, tonight, bihaqqi Aliyin al-Azghar, grant them safety, security, victory and betterment. Ya Allah, in the final moments of our life, as our soul is being taken from us, and ours to die in the love of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, and raised in the love of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Wassalamu alaykum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A reminder for tomorrow, Maqtal in English, 11:45 sharp. We'll be reciting the whole Maqtal of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Please try to be there from 11:45, and thereafter we will have Salat al-Jum'ah, and thereafter the Maqtal in Urdu, and thus we will break our fakhr as well. Insha'Allah, we will see everyone tomorrow. Tonight is a night of ibadat. Tonight is a night where we want to stay awake and better ourselves. On this night, all the family members and companions ensured that they perform their Salat al-Layl. If you can, insha'Allah, before you go to sleep, make sure you and I perform our Salat al-Layl so that we can come in some